Good morning, witches. This is the Witch Daily Show, coming to you from New Orleans, with host Tanya Brown. Our episodes span about 20 minutes long to give you just a little pop of magic. So, tune in, take a deep breath, and enjoy.
Good morning, witches. It is, April 3rd. It is Wednesday. I am Tanya, and this is the Witch Daily Show. Today's episode is brought to you by Grimoire Society. So let's get your day going with a little magic. Our quote of the day is, but we don't have one. Well, what should our quote of the day be? Let me think. Quote of the day. Oh, I love the Morticia Addams where she just says, I'm just any modern woman trying to have it all. Loving husband, a family. It's just, I wish I had more time to seek out the dark forces and join their hellish crusade. Amen. Okay, so moving into our bluebell talk today, we are talking about bluebells. So there are countless folklore tales surrounding the bluebell, many of which involve dark fairy magic, and bluebell woods are believed to be intricately woven with fairy enchantments used by these mischievous beings to trap humans. It is also said that if you hear a bluebell ring, you will be visited by a bad fairy and you will die not long after. If you pick a bluebell, many believe you will be led astray by fairies wandering lost forevermore. In the language of flowers, the bluebell is a symbol of humility, constancy, gratitude, and everlasting love. It is said that if you turn a bluebell flower inside out without tearing it, you will win the one you love. And if you wear a wreath of bluebells, you will only be able to speak the truth. So, while the bluebell is still common throughout Britain, it is under threat locally from habitat destruction. Illegal trade of wild collected bulbs. Bluebells can take years to recover from damage caused by trampling, and if their leaves are crushed, they will be weakened. So, bluebells. All right, moving into some headlines. This comes to us from MovieWeb.com, The Geechee Witch, a Boohag story review. So, this is about a movie, which honestly I'm really excited about. So apparently it's set in the wetlands of Georgia. Fairfax Pictures' newest cinematic collaboration with Regal Cinemas for Black History Month is The Geechee Witch, a Boohag story. The horror movie dives into the folklore of the Gullah people of African American ethnic group who predominantly live in the lower regions of the U.S. One of the more fantastical aspects of the heritage is the mythical creature known as the Boohag, which sucks the breath or soul out of its unknowing victim while the person is put into a deep trance-like sleep filled with haunting dreams. The witch, akin to a vampire of sorts, will gallivant around, mimicking the human and fooling others. Here, the story revolves around a woman named Leah and her husband, Asa, who move from their cozy, lavish life in New York City to Asa's deceased mother's home in the backwoods of Georgia. Not much time goes by after the mother's funeral when things start to go bump in the night, and Leah begins to suffer from blackouts and nightmares. Honestly, this sounds really good. The reviewer isn't impressed, but like, this seems right up my alley. I kind of love the whole a couple moves to like the woods and then crazy stuff happens. That's kind of a trope I really enjoy. So I'm definitely down for watching this. All right, witches, I'm going to throw this over to our moon correspondent. And after this break, we will talk more.
Hello to all of my astro friends. This is Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, coming at you with your daily moon mantra for Wednesday, April 3rd. The waning crescent moon moves from the drive of Capricorn to the out-of-the-box ideas of Aquarius today. Here, the moon conjuncts Pluto. This is quite an intense influence, as the moon is taken deep by Pluto. an Aquarius, we're discovering a new way of feeling about things that we had not considered. Maybe this is how we felt all along, but had not recognized or named the feeling. Our emotions run so deeply inside of us that we rarely take the time to pull them up and suss them out. This day is going to pull those deep feelings to the surface, whether we're ready or not. So take the time to really feel those feelings today and take advantage of the new perspective that is being provided by this process. Your daily moon mantra is, your perspective can be your prison or your passport. This has been your daily moon mantra with Serendipity, the Chicago astrologer, signing off and reminding you that you are in charge of your own destiny.
Hey witches, I want to share a new witch service that I offer, and it is where I create a witchcraft program for you. So basically, when you go to college, you pick your major and they give you a list of courses that you must complete to graduate. And essentially, I do that for you based off your preferences from a questionnaire that I give you. So I will create about 16 different classes that I think you should complete. Now, I don't lecture you. I don't teach you the course, but what I do is I go, okay, here's what you're learning. Here's the book you need to read. Here's the podcast episode you need to listen to. Here's the YouTube video you should watch. And before you check this off, before you move on, you have to complete this skill. And until you can complete this skill, you don't move on. And basically, I am being your little witchcraft dean. And I can support you through it if you have questions, if you're stuck on a certain skill, you can let me know and I can assist. But yeah, I think it's a really fun way for me to help give you something to start with if you struggle with organizing or knowing how to construct a path for yourself. Let me help. So if that interests you, you can go to tanyabrown.schedulisa.com or the Witch Daily Show website and services, and you can go from there. And yeah, if you have any questions, let me know. All right, we are back. So we're on day 3 of our Coven series. On Monday, we talked about different types of groups. Yesterday, we talked about questions you need to ask yourself before looking for a group. And today, we're going to talk about red flags when finding a group. Okay? Now, I know. It's a lot. You're like, Tanya, You're like, I listened about the groups and I found one I liked and I asked myself questions and this group asked, like, it's my questions, my answers, and now there's more filtering. Yeah. Dude, like religious groups, spiritual groups, you got to be discerning. You just have to. I'm so sorry. I wish it weren't the case, but here we are on day 3. So here are some red flags to look out for when approaching a group to possibly join. Oh, and this is from my book, The Door to Witchcraft, A New Witch's Guide to History, Traditions, and Modern Day Spells by Tanya A. Brown. So, red flags. Number 1, sex as worship. Now, avoid covens that include some sort of sexual act in order to participate or join. Now, listen, I'm fully aware that there is sex magic, right? There's solo sex magic, there is sex magic within covens, but it would be real ignorant to deny that that isn't a part of every single cult you've ever heard of. Okay? That is a red flag. If you have to sleep with somebody to be in the group or to join the group or as initiation, and it's not something you can opt out of, that is a red flag, okay? And that's something you really need to pay attention to. Next, cough up the dough covens. Normal covens run on typically 2 forms of financial systems. When the group is small, typically each witch brings what they can. Now, that really works for if there's like 4 of you, right? Or like, oh, let's all get together for Samhain. I'll bring the pot of pumpkin chili. Oh, well, I'll bring the ritual supplies. Oh, well, then I'll bring the wine. Oh, that's perfect. I'll host. Like, that seems really fair, right? However, as groups get bigger, it sometimes has a weird habit of that stuff unbalancing. When it's small, it's real easy to keep that sort of thing balanced. the bigger a group gets, even if it's casual, it'll start to shift where all of a sudden one or two people are carrying the bulk of providing resources, and then some people provide nothing, right? So it's not uncommon for bigger groups to collect dues in order to just fairly provide resources for the group, right? And it can be something really simple, like, hey, we're going to host a big Samhain blowout where we have food, and we're going to do a silent supper, and we're going to do a ritual, and we'll end it with a movie night. And hey, can we collect $25 from everyone so we can fund the ritual supplies? We can, cater all the food. We can pay for cleanup afterwards. Like, that's really normal, right? So that's typically one way a group will kind of fund or use money within their system. Now, there is another way where they'll collect dues for kind of like a big, right? This is kind of what I do with my situation is basically, it's like one big trip. It's all out. It's lush. We fly in teachers, and we are doing tours and private dinners. And you want to make sure everyone's getting financially compensated. And usually that is another very common way that you'll see money being handled. So if you cannot tell where the money is going, that's a red flag, right? Them asking for money is not a red flag, in my personal opinion. If you can't see where the money's going, to me, that's a red flag. Okay. So even if your group asks for $25 to do the Samhain ritual, but your food's being provided for, you're not paying for any ritual supplies, and everything's taken care of, that makes sense, right? Or a big yearly blowout where you're like, oh, we're staying in a mansion that, like, all our food's being taken care of, all of our excursions are being taken care of. You're like, oh, I can see exactly where the money is going. But if you are being asked to pay like $500 a year in dues, and you're just hanging out in someone's basement with like three white candles, we want to start asking questions. Okay. Next, we have Evil Eye Covens. Also, can you tell I named all these? I had a good time. I love little names. Evil Eye Covens. This is a coven where you notice members are giving each other the side eye. Covens that come with lots of baggage and conflict will be a waste of your time. They fought with each other before you considered joining, and they'll keep fighting long after you've walked away. Drama-filled covens won't benefit you magically. Now, this is a great example. You don't want covens that can't manage themselves and have endless tension, right? You don't want to walk in drama where there's sides and tensions, and someone said this and someone did that, and this person thinks someone else is stuck up, and this person low-key hates this person. Ugh, tell me how that's going to be beneficial to your magical path at all. At all. It's not. Oh my gosh. Also, there's like hot goss in the April issue of the Grimoire Society. There's like coven drama in it, and I love it. But yeah, those covens are just not going to benefit you. You want to go into a place or within a group that seems to have their shit together, because if everyone seems to hate each other, it's just like going to devolve, and it's just not going to benefit you. And you're walking into drama you have nothing to do with. Now, if you're into that sort of thing, that, good on you. Next is mismatched covens. So this is really kind of what can happen if we don't do what we talked about yesterday, which is asking ourselves questions, being honest about what we want, and being discerning in that way. Mismatched covens. You want to be fully invested in what your coven does. If there's an important group ritual that you're not into, beliefs that make you uncomfortable, or activities that spark no interest, then why get involved in the group? And I typically used to call it, like, say, for example, if for the ritual everyone wears Star Trek uniforms and you're not into Star Trek, like, that's just not going to be a good time. But if you are into it, hey, good time, So that comes with yesterday, right? Asking ourselves questions, being thoughtful about what we're doing and what we're getting into. Next, we have flaky covens. If you've been to a few coven meetings and you notice the attendance is always drastically different each time, this could indicate a lack of commitment among the members. Now, there can be times in which this is on purpose, right? We talked about low commitment covens in day one, right? But if you're supposed to be in a coven that's supposed to be committed and supposed to be highly organized and highly structured and high commitment, and the members are constantly changing, if something's not quite right, right? Let's see. Our next one is I know everything leaders. Egotistical leaders are a big thing to avoid. If anyone acts as if they hold all the knowledge and power, run. Unless this is a part of a tradition, coven should be respectful and interested in knowledge sharing. Beyond that, if someone is unnecessarily dominant or is withholding information for the sake of power, what are you really going to get out of it? Right? And that's where we start leaning into cult territory, right? Think about like Scientology, right? With the whole like, well, you just have to get to the next level if you want that information. You just have to get to this next level if you want that. Now, here's the thing. There are some religious forms of witchcraft, like Wicca and all that, where there are hierarchies, right? And you typically know that going in and it's respectful. But if you find that you're in a group, especially non-religious, where there seems to be a leader who doesn't want to share information, doesn't want to nurture anyone's spiritual path, who kind of has the I know everything, I know all the answers. Don't listen to them. You have to listen to me. Then, like, that's not really a good sign. You want a leader who is like humble, who is like, hey, this is the best of my knowledge, but I don't know everything. Feel free to research it elsewhere and get back to us and tell us what you find. You know, and that's typically a good sign of a good leader. And then finally, leaders who don't know their stuff. If you join a coven and you start to suspect the leader doesn't know as much as they pretend to, don't bother. I've seen covens run by people who have only practiced for a few months or only read one book. This is okay for a circle where everyone is learning together, but in a coven, why let someone without adequate knowledge dictate your magical path? And I used to kind of call this the witch who read chapter one of a bunch of Wicca 101 books. Like, it's like they never quite got past chapter one of any book. And yeah, again, if this is a circle and you're there to exchange knowledge and learn together, then like it's fine. And like if that person's just the best one at organizing and getting stuff on calendars and planning, and they don't seem to know a lot, that's fine if it's low commitment, if it's not religious, if there aren't big beliefs, if you're all there just to learn together, that's fine. But if this person is positioning themselves as a leader and as a guide, and you suspect they don't actually know what they're talking about, that's a red flag. Anyways, witches, I hope this was really helpful. As you can tell, like I said yesterday, I know a lot about this subject, and I don't even know how, other than like the base experience I've had. But this is something I've thought a lot about. And I think it also comes from my background in psychology. I had a focus in abnormal psychology and specifically things like, you know, not cool people. I don't know how to say that well on the podcast, but like cults and things like that, I had a high focus on. So I learned a lot about kind of red flags, what to look for, and it really lends well with a lot of witchcraft groups, spiritual groups. And we're especially seeing that now, right? A lot of groups kind of being formed in the name of New Age, that are using a lot of witchy things, but maybe aren't actually witchy and they're just a little New Agey. And we're seeing a lot of groups coming across from that. I didn't put this in the book because it wasn't as much of a thing back then when this book was written. This book was written in 2018, so 6 years ago. And this wasn't really much of a thing. But I'm also real sus if prices aren't angel numbers. That's a weird one to me. Why? Angel numbers are a relatively new invention. I don't know. That's another kind of red flag to me. I'm like, why are we doing that? And again, beliefs are one thing, but I don't know. It skews me. All right, witches. We are wrapping up this episode of the Witch Daily Show. I want to give a shout out to listener Renee Mezick. Renee, you thoughtful Arcadian sun goddess. Christy Hendrickson, you mystical luminous seer. Vanessa, you earthy dapper newborn baby. And Kimbo's, you talented, powerful unicorn nurse. Thank you for so much for being Patreon supporters. I really appreciate it. And before we leave, we do have a card pull. Our card today is the King of Spades from the Jane Austen tarot deck. Authority. Though Anne Elliot rejects Captain Wentworth in the beginning of Persuasion, he later approaches love and life with a wiser view. All right, witches, that's all I've got for you today. Don't forget any books, decks, headline sources. Anything we reference today can be found in the podcast episode description or witchpod.com. And we'll talk again tomorrow. Bye.
Witches, we hope you have a wonderful day, full of joy and gentleness and confidence. Links for this week's episodes, our website, Patreon, along with a free daily card pull can be found at witchpod.com. One stop for everything we talk about. Now, take one more deep breath and have a great day.